Baruch Adonai Hamvora.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Leolam Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim v'natan lanu et torato. Baruch ata Adonai noten ha'torah. Amen.
And he will be reading directly from the Torah scroll, which has no vowels.
Lo yiyeh lecha b'vetecha eifa ve'eifa gedola uktana even shleima v'tzedek yiyeh lach eifa shleima v'tzedek yiyeh lach lema'an ya'arichu yamecha al ha'adama asher Adonai Elohecha noten lach. Ki toavat Adonai Elohecha kol osei eile kol osei avel. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Torat Emet V'Chayei Olam Nata B'Tochenu. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
We'll continue with the Haftarah portion.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Binvim Tovim Veratza B'divrehem Hane'emarim Be'emet. Baruch Ata Adonai Habocher B'Torah Uv Moshe Avdo Uv Yisrael Amo Uv Inviei Ha'emet V'Tzedek. Amen.
We'll be reading from the book of Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 54. We start with verse 5, and then we jump to 7 and 8.
Ki vo'alayich osayich Adonai tzevaot shemo v'go'alech kadosh Yisrael Elohe kol ha'aretz yikare b'rega katon azavtich uvrachamim gedolim akabetzech Beshetzef ketzef histarti fanai regami mech uchesed olam richam tich amar goalech Adonai.
Amen. And we continue with the closing blessing for the Haftarah.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Tzur Kol Amim Tzadik Boho Hadorot Ha'el Hane'eman Ha'omer Ve'oseh Hamdaver Umkayem Shekol Devarav Emet Vatzedek Ne'eman Ata Hu Adonai Eloheinu Ve'ne'emanim Devarecha V'devar Echad Midvarecha Achor Lo Yeshuv Rekam Ki El Melech Ne'eman V'rachaman Ata. Baruch Ata Adonai Ha'el Hane'eman Bochol Devarav.
Amen. Wonderful, wonderful job. And the blessing hasn't ended there. There's also a Brit Hadashah portion. So we'll do the blessing before the Brit Hadashah.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher natan lanu Mashiach Yeshua v'hadibrot shel harbrit hachadasha. Baruch Ata Adonai noten habrit hachadasha. Amen.
And we are in the book of Matityahu, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18.
All techshavu shivati levatel et hatorah o et hanevi'im lo bati levatel ki im lekayim. Amen omer ani lachem ad asher ya'aru hashemayim v'ha'aretz af yod achat o tag echad lo ya'aru min ha'torah b'terem yitkayim hakol.
Amen. We'll continue with, if you can read that in English, please.
Don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll continue with Daniel's speech.
Shabbat Shalom. My Torah portion this week is Kitetze, which means when you go out. Kitetze is in the middle of the book of Deuteronomy. Kitetze has more commandments than any other Torah portion, 74 commandments to be exact, and I counted all of them. That's like having 10 new commandments for every day of the week. I learned through my Torah portion that laws aren't always bad. Without laws, this world would be a mess. There would be a lot more of car crashes, killing, kidnapping, stealing, etc. There are a lot more laws that God made than just the 74 that I mentioned. There's actually 613 laws, but I didn't count all of those. Laws keep things in order. My portion makes a number of laws on marriage, treating others honestly, fairly, and with dignity, respecting the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the slaves, and remembering what the Amalekites did to us. Here are some laws that I want to share with you. One law states that you can eat some of your neighbor's grapes from his vineyard, but you cannot take any with you for later. You shall not twist justice for the orphans, widows, or strangers, it says in Deuteronomy. It also says to leave some of your crops for them too, and keep your promises. Do not make a promise that cannot be kept. If you make a promise to the Lord your God, keep it and don't delay in keeping it. There's laws about finding items that are not yours. If you see your brother's animals go astray and find them, you must return the animals to your brother. If your brother is not near you or you do not know the owner, then you may keep the animal until someone inquires for it, and then you shall return it. You must apply the same rule to any lost items of your brother. If we see lost money, a cell phone, etc., we must return it to its owner even if it's inconvenient. The Torah emphasizes that we cannot look away from this animal or nowadays items and cannot hide ourselves from the situation. We cannot pretend to not notice the suffering of another person. The wording in the Torah actually indicates that it's not only that we shall not or should not look away, but that you should not even be physically able to look away. There's even a law about a rebellious son. It says in Deuteronomy 21:18-21. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his mother and father and will not listen to them, then he will suffer severe consequences. In the Bible, it says to stone the child. Fortunately for me, this has never happened. It says that you must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. It says in my Torah portion 5 times to remove the evil from among you. If it says that so many times in just my Torah portion, then I think God is trying to tell us something. In the famous biblical episode in which Moses receives the Ten Commandments, he came down from the mountain and saw some of the people worshiping the golden calf. He said to kill everyone who was associated with the calf and to remove the evil from among them. There is also a commandment to be truthful and fair. It says, all your weights and measurements need to be truthful. That is a very good point. Do not rip someone off. Be fair. It would be hypocritical of us to be indifferent to others when we always expect others to care for us. we are also supposed to treat others with dignity. Maybe that's because we're all created in God's image. We learn to love each other and see their needs because God's love for us is constant. My Haftarah portion also tells us about God's love. I really felt his love in the summer when I injured my knee and bent it the wrong way. I was badly injured to where I could barely walk for over a week. One night, I asked my parents to help pray for my knee, and right when we finished, I felt a heat wave cover my knee, and at that moment, my knee was completely healed.
Hallelujah.
Instantly, God answered my prayer. The prophet Isaiah hears God saying to stretch out your tent. God wants us to invite others and to serve others. We must learn to love each other like God loves all of us. Thank you very much.
All right.
And now the personal speech.
Before I started my bar mitzvah, I didn't know very much Hebrew. Getting started was a big obstacle to me. I was thinking that it would take forever to learn, but thanks to my dad's Hebrew class, it wasn't. Luckily, my dad was starting a Hebrew class, and so I thought to myself, I really need to do this if I want to get somewhere in my bar mitzvah. So next thing you know, I'm learning Hebrew. I learned Hebrew and got the hang of it towards the end of the class. I was volunteering to read the Hebrew and to help others that didn't get the hang of it yet. I would like to thank my dad for teaching me Hebrew because without him, this would never have been possible. After that, my dad and I put together a bar mitzvah binder with everything I needed to know about my bar mitzvah. I started to practice right after the binder was put together. Time went by and I learned all the prayers and how to chant them. I was beginning to learn how to chant my Torah portion, partway through from Kitavo to Kitetze. I did not waste any time after that. I just said okay and got my new portion and went straight to practice. Doing so, it was still very difficult having to start over and get familiar with Kitetze and learn how to chant it. This was my toughest obstacle I had to overcome. This is why I would like to thank my mom's friend Laura, as well as my mom, my dad, for being so patient with me and taking the time to practice with me. As I mentioned earlier on how you should return found items to the proper owner, I have a story that happened to me a while back. One day I was walking down my neighborhood with my friend Nick, which he is here today. We found a set of car keys on the ground, the ones with the little remote on it. We noticed the keys had a panic button on it. Well, Nick and I spent a good part of our afternoon listening and figuring out how the button worked, because it would not sound when we pressed it once. Eventually, we discovered that you had to press it once and then hold it the second time. After that, we later found out where the sound was coming from. We asked the owner of our house if the car keys belonged to her, and she said yes. She explained to us that her car was in her garage, and she dropped her keys when she went to get her mail. She was so thankful and impressed that we took the time to find the owner. The moral of the story is, God wants us to do the right thing.
Right.
This summer, after Messiah Conference, my parents took me to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. The Holocaust was a very sad and scary moment. As I was in the museum, I learned a lot more than what I knew. When I first arrived, as my family and I went into a place called Daniel's Story, which was a recreation of how a boy named Daniel lived and how his life changed through the Holocaust. He wrote a diary, and as we walked through the scenes, we read parts of the diary until the story was over. Later, we saw a wall of tiles. The tiles were full of drawings and sayings of what the kids thought and saw. There were some strong pictures and sayings on the tiles. Throughout the rest of the time we were there, we saw stories and videos of scenes from the Holocaust. That was very sad that someone could hate us so much. God tells us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, and the challenge is to putting this into action. I guess you could say that all along, God has been watching over me and changing me. Yeshua is a big part of my life. I couldn't imagine living without him. I'm convinced that Yeshua has forgiven my sins about halfway through my bar mitzvah when I most needed him. I knew that I'm not perfect, but I know that when I follow and obey Yeshua, things change for the better. For my mitzvah project, I am contributing to the Hatikva Project Dental Clinic in Jerusalem. I would now like to thank my dad Sergio, my mom Mary Lou, and my brother Isaac. I would also like to give a big special thanks to the Rabbi, Josh, Mordecai, Ulysses, Steve, Ted, Laura, Marilyn, Rochelle, and Kathy. There's so many people to thank that I'll just have to say thanks for everyone for making my bar mitzvah possible. Thank you all for being here, in beloved memory of my grandpa, Simeon Vinicor.
Wasn't that just wonderful? Let's finish with the closing blessing of the Brit Hadashah.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu hadvar ha'emet, v'chayei olam nata b'tochenu. Baruch atah Adonai, notein habrit ha'chadashah. Amen.
Remain standing, please, as the scrolls are being put away.
Etz Chaim. If you know it, please sing along. Etz Chaim means tree of life, and we're all part of that tree of life. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and all her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. Etz Chaim hi lemachazikim ba v'tomcheha meushar darcheha darchei noam v'chol netivotecha Shalom Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Chadesh Yameinu Chadesh Yameinu Keke
And I especially want to thank my mother for traveling from Portland to here to be with us in such a special occasion. Darshan HaTorah, Shmuel ben Yisrael v'Miriam.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And how do you follow and act like that? Amen. Actually, I'm not going to try. I don't know what that comment was, but we'll let it go. But anyhow, yes. Because I really appreciated that great exposition and exhortation. It was really good. And I just have a few comments to make and an exhortation to the bar mitzvah boy, the bar mitzvah. Bachur is what you say in Yiddish. Bachur is the Hebrew word, which means chosen, chosen young man. And so that morphs into Yiddish as bar mitzvah bachur. And I have a few bar mitzvah stories to open with. There's a story of Lewis, a Jewish young man, and he hated going to bar mitzvahs because all of his uncles and aunts used to come up to him and poke him in the ribs and say, "You're next, Lewis." But then he found a way to stop it, because at funerals, he would come up to his uncles and aunts. You get it. Okay. And actually, I've said that to a few people, and Daniel's like, "You're next, you're next," so forget it. Okay. There's another one, another story that a man named Abraham had done very well in business, amassed a fortune, and he wanted to create the most spectacular bar mitzvah for his son Sam. But what should he do? He decided to rent the space shuttle and have the bar mitzvah in outer space. So the shuttle took off with his family and friends and the rabbi, of course, on board. And when they returned, the media was there to find out how the journey had gone. So the first person off the shuttle was the bubby. That's the Yiddish word for the grandma, the Jewish matriarch of the family. And so they said, "How was the service, grandma?" asked the Jewish Chronicle reporter. "Okay," she said. "And how was Sam's speech?" "Okay." "And how was the food?" "Okay." "Everything was just okay. Why aren't you more enthusiastic? What went wrong in outer space?" She said, "Well, there was no atmosphere." Okay. That's appropriate. Okay. And the last one is, two bees were buzzing around in the fall, and they were talking to each other, and one said to the other, "So how's the summer been going?" And said, "You know, there's been so much rain, and it's been cold, there really hasn't been enough flowers and pollen." So the first bee said, "Look, go down the street and turn left, there's a bar mitzvah going on, and there's lots of flowers and decorations, and go there and help yourself, I'll go. So the one bee went, and he came back a little bit later, and the first bee said, "So how was the bar mitzvah?" "Great," said the second bee. And the first bee, but then the first bee noticed there was a little circle on the second bee's head. And he said, "So what's that?" And he said, "Well, it's a yarmulke, a kippah. Because when I was at the bar mitzvah, I didn't want them to think I was a wasp." You can groan at that one too. Okay. And the last one is a vocabulary. I didn't show you these on screen because I thought they'd be better. But the last one is a vocabulary word I want to introduce. It's torified. That's the inability to remember one's lines at a bar mitzvah. And I'm so proud that Daniel was not torified. He was very articulate and wonderful. So what I want to spend is a few minutes speaking on bar mitzvahs. Why do we do a bar mitzvah? How did it start? What are the origins of the bar mitzvah? Well, historically, the great synagogue in Rome before the time of Yeshua, 2,300 years ago, records young women being called up to read from the Torah, young men as well. And actually, that continued as a unique practice in the Italian Jewish community. So that's the earliest Torah reading that we have recorded as a ceremony 200 years before Messiah. Another one that's interesting is that in the Pirkei Avot, which is part of the Mishnah was written about 200 CE, maybe a little earlier than that, 5 is determined to be the age for the study of Torah, at least one rabbi said, 10 for the study of Mishnah, 13 for the obligation to observe mitzvot. So that's the beginning of mitzvot. It seems like that's the beginning of a consciousness. Now, the year that it was written is not the year that this idea came up. It was just called redacted. It was put down in writing then, but it was an idea that was around for a long time. So 15 for the study of Talmud, that's the rabbinic comment. Well, this is the part of the rabbinic commentary, and this is the commentary on the commentary. Anyhow, 18 for marriage. This is very interesting. 20 to pursue a livelihood. So you're still a student for 2 years when you're married before you start to pursue a livelihood. Maybe you're in training like an apprentice. 30 for strength. 40 for understanding. 50 for counsel. 60 for sagacity. 70 for elderliness. 80 for power. 90 to stoop. And 100-year-old is one who is as if he was dead and passed away and has been negated from the world. So, well, I'm not there yet. Okay. So another A little bit of history is the second century, a rabbi, actually he's a Kabbalistic writer, innovator, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai made a bar mitzvah feast, which is akin to a wedding celebration. Big time celebration is part of the bar mitzvah modality. Now, interestingly, in the life of Yeshua, every year Yeshua's parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Pesach. When he was 12 now, apparently they didn't take him with them until he was 12. They went up for the festival as the custom required. Now, we don't know exactly what custom that is, unless it was customary at age 12, maybe 13, or at 12 as he was turning 13, for him to go up to Jerusalem, enter into the temple worship, and be a bar mitzvah. Now, it doesn't say anything about the procedure, anything, it just says it's custom required. So you could kind of consider this maybe a proto-bar mitzvah. Before bar mitzvahs actually were formalized, he went up and started worship and keeping the mitzvot. So the story goes on, after the festival was over, when his parents returned, Yeshua remained in Jerusalem. They spent a whole day on the road searching before they began searching, but then they went searching for him. Now, I want to apply my remarks to Daniel specifically. So where are you sitting? Okay, all right. Pointed out. I got it. Okay. All right, so it seems like this was Yeshua's first trip in what's called the Regalim, the pilgrim holiday, sort of a proto-bar mitzvah. But what happened when he got there is he really got engaged with the teachers and with the learning. And it says they returned to Jerusalem and went to look for him. Then the third day they found him. He was sitting in the temple courts among the rabbis, not only listening to them, but questioning what they said, and everyone heard him, was astonished at his insight and his responses. And the Yeshua appeared to be really enamored with the learning and responded. Now, some theologians say, this is speculative, but some say that he didn't realize, Yeshua himself, born as a human being, didn't realize his full identity as a newborn baby, as a little child. He didn't realize who he was as God. You can sort that out if you want, however you want. But some say that it was kind of a dawning growth of identity as he studied the scriptures and as God revealed stuff to him, and in his own tevilah, his own mikvah, his own immersion, that's when the full nature of who he was came to him. And that's why he went in the wilderness and fasted and sought God and spent time before the Lord. So this is possible, but nevertheless, he was growing in his knowledge of Scripture. That was the essence of his bar mitzvah, as well as we can understand that he was engaged in Scripture. And may that be, may this be, not just the beginning, but the continuation of your being immersed in Scripture. I say that to all of us, but particularly to those who are growing into adulthood. So Yeshua had this exposure to the temple scholars and was engaged with them and seemed to love the learning and responses. And then he went home with them to Nazareth and was obedient to his parents. And Yeshua grew both in wisdom and stature, gaining favor both with God, with other people, and with God. And so, in analyzing that a little bit, it means he grew intellectually in wisdom, physically in stature, socially with other people, and spiritually. So there's growing to do after the bar mitzvah, after this time of coming out, you might say. And of course, there's a famous line, you are a bar mitzvah. Today, you are a man. Monday, you go back to eighth grade, or seventh grade, whatever it is. But I want to say, Yeshua continued to grow in his love and scripture understanding and social skills, and you are already, Daniel, a mighty man. We really are proud of what you did, what you said, how you read, and you will continue. There is more to come. You come from generations of engineers and learned people. I was delighted to visit with Sergio about his family, and may you further that in Yeshua. Now, continuing the story of bar mitzvahs, Rabbi Shlomo Loria, a noted 16th century Polish scholar, ruled that the bar mitzvah feast is a suda mitzvah. It's a mitzvah repast. So that's, I guess, why bar mitzvahs have gotten to be so big in terms of celebration and food, which means by participating in this meal, it's actually a mitzvah. Now, Roman custom had girls, even girls, called to the Torah. And interestingly, bat mitzvahs were held in Iraq, in Sephardic Jewry, even in the 1800s. In American history, the first bat mitzvah was in New York by Rabbi Mordechai Kaplan, held the first public celebration March 18th, 1922, at his synagogue called the Society for the Advancement of Judaism, and he called up his daughter to the Torah, and it was shocking to everybody to have a girl read from the Torah and say the blessings, but nevertheless, he did it. So that's really how the bat mitzvah came to be innovated and somewhat standard practice now in American Jewry. Now, there's one more innovation that I want to tell you about because it's historical. It will never, ever be done at Or HaOlam, but it was an innovation in the Jewish community. And that is what was called a bar mitzvah. In July 10th, 1977, the first bar mitzvah took place in West Orange, New Jersey. Marin and Thieb Drazen held a bar mitzvah for their dog, Schnoopsy Lewis Drazen, in their backyard. So, we'll never do that, but I just thought that was an interesting little historical bit of information. So, what is a bar mitzvah? Well, it comes from two words, son, which is actually Aramaic. There's also ben in Hebrew, bar in Aramaic, because it was a later innovation in Jewish practice, so they used the Aramaic word. And then mitzvah is a female noun that translates religiously, commandment, precept, decree, edict, good deed, act of service. Now, it seems like these two words are somewhat of a disconnect, because bar means son, who you love, who's esteemed, who's close to your heart, who's precious to you. Mitzvah is talking about commandment. So, Daniel, if I could have your attention there. Yes, good. Mitzvah is talking about commandments, things to do, things that you're ordered to do, rules and regulations and requirements. And son, of course, is a statement of love. So it almost seems like it's a disconnect. Bar mitzvah, son, who you love, and commandment. You're telling him, you're giving this kid all these orders. How does that relate together? Well, I think the key thought is it's being engaged and enamored with the Word of God as a romance. That is, the sonship dimension is because we understand the Word, the Torah, the Tanakh, the Messianic Scriptures as being a love letter, a covenantal letter, a family identity. Covenant is the key word. And so God loves to meet us and enter, usher us into these great events of our lives. So there's a scripture in Devarim, Deuteronomy, it says a blessing on you when you go out, a blessing on you when you come in. And God seems to meet us at transition points. So if you think about that, at birth, we have Brit Milah, circumcision. At puberty, we have bar mitzvah and coming into adulthood. At marriage is almost always that people are going to be religious. That's a day they involve God in what they are doing. And of course, death is a time, it's off screen for some reason, but death is a time when we also involve God in the coming in and going out. And Yeshua tells us, connecting commandments, connecting the word and sonship, the word and love. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphans. I'm coming to you. Just a little while, the world will not see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will you too will live. So here's the essence of bar mitzvah life. We enter into a relationship with Yeshua, and we love him, and we keep his commands. We're in his word. We read his word. We treasure his word. And so he comes to us. He relates to us. He blesses us with his presence and his love. And you will see him regularly if you're regularly in the word. Some other scriptures about the word. The Torah, and this is, of course, is for all of us, but particularly as we're coming into young adulthood, the Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the inner person. The instruction is sure, making wise the thoughtless. The precepts of Adonai are right, rejoicing the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The rulings of Adonai are true. They're righteous altogether, more to be desirable than gold, much fine gold, and sweeter than honey or the drippings from the honeycomb. That's why we have these candies we give out, fruit by the foot, that we give out during the service to the young people, just to know that the word is sweeter than honey, but we'll give you some honey or some sweetness to get the taste of it, the flavor of it. Hallelujah. How happy is anyone who fears Adonai, who delights in his mitzvot? I choose the way of trust. Set your rulings before me. Just skipping down. Don't let me put to shame. I will run the way of your mitzvot, for they are broadened by understanding. I will speak of your instructions even to kings without being. I will delight myself in your mitzvot, which I have loved. I will lift my hands to your mitzvot, which I love. I will meditate on your laws. This is really what the Shema is about, is being hearing from God, hearing frequently, regularly in his word. Now, as messianics, we have an added dimension to this. It says here, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, Yehuda. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people, for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest, because I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. So that is, through the merit of the atonement of Messiah, you can know God, and you can know you are forgiven. Yom Kippur is coming up soon, when the Jewish people around the world will fast and pray for forgiveness. And we, as a Messianic congregation, will be part of that, but we always need further ongoing forgiveness. But our basic underlying atonement is in the sacrificial death and resurrection of Yeshua. So we have a miraculous intervention in life. And that's really what our faith is about, is miraculous intervention. There's a story I got on the internet just recently. A Sabra native Israeli businessman in his 60s received Yeshua, and he shared he was reluctant to tell his daughter, who's a well-educated physicist. However, she called him without knowing about his faith and said, "Abba, an amazing thing happened this week. I had a dream in which Yeshua appeared to me and talked to me." So this Israeli didn't have to deal with the shock of his daughter by herself. She already had a dream about Yeshua. Another story is a young woman who had anorexia and was declared fatally ill, had a supernatural healing, and we appreciate God's healing power. Now, we don't know what challenges you will face in your life. God has called all of us as Jews to return to the land, and maybe your family will be making Aliyah sometime relatively soon. And there's war and danger in the land. And so you need to be prepared, Daniel. You need to be prepared for what life holds for you. There's war there. In a sense, there's spiritual war here. And Messianic believers are not exempt from the war. But God has power. God has grace. God has the ability to keep you and to bless you and to guide you, but especially if you keep the study and knowledge and preparation of the word first in your heart, that goes to all of us, and the presence of Yeshua in your heart. So the closing scripture I want to skip to is this. You children, I've written to you because you've known the Father. You fathers, I've written to you because you've known him was existed from the beginning. Now here it is to young people, to you as a bar mitzvah boy. I have written to you because you are strong and the word of God remains in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So I'm going to invite you up just now and your family for some special things we want to share with you. Could you come up, and Sergio and Mary Lou and the rest of the family as okay, we want to give you as a congregation, first of all, this certificate of bar mitzvah. If you want to get a picture of it, Thank you. Okay, let me read the certificate. It says, presented by Or HaOlam Messianic Congregation, the Daniel Ben Shlomo Umiliam, Daniel Vinokur, who, having completed the required studies, was called to the Torah and confessed his personal faith in Messiah Yeshua as a bar mitzvah on Elul 11, 5774, corresponding to September 6, 2014. Misha Barech Avotenu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Hu Yivarech Et HaBachor She'ala Hayom Lichvod HaMakom Lichvod HaTorah. He who blessed our fathers Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, may he bless this young man who has gone up to honor God. Honor, HaMakom is the word for place. God is the ultimate place, and honor the Torah. So here is your certificate. We're not done though. Since the bar mitzvah is about entering in to the word, bar mitzvah, son of the word, son of the commandment. This is a Hebrew-English Bible, Hebrew on one side, English on the other side. It's a complete Tanakh and Brit Chadashah. It's a little heavy to carry around, but... And I suppose you have it on software available too, so I don't know if we should continue. Anyhow, this is what we're giving for today. May this Hebrew-English Tanakh and Messianic writings be the source of much blessing and enrichment in the truth and presence of the God of Israel and his Messiah Yeshua, according to the word of Adonai from Proverbs, Mishle, which says, my son, if you have received my words and treasure my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, you have to seek God's wisdom all your life, and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Adonai and find the knowledge of God. So we present to you this Bible, and may you use it a lot, and we have a built-in warranty that if you wear it out from reading it, we will replace it. But if you drop it in the swimming pool, the warranty doesn't apply. Amen. All right. Now, just sit tight for a minute. We have a liturgy song at this point, and then the parental blessing.